Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with your host, psychologist Parthenia Izard. Parthenia is a psychologist and certified natural health care practitioner who will show you alternative paths toward health with a holistic approach. Call with your questions or comments at 610-664-4100. Now here's the host of Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom, psychologist Parthenia Izard.
Good morning to those of you listening to our live broadcast or internet simulcast today, August 4, 2007, and hello to those of you listening to an internet rebroadcast tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, or maybe Wednesday or Thursday of the next week. A link for that is on my site. You are listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist Parthenia Izard. Today's program is going to be pre-recorded, so no call-ins today. On this program, we discuss alternative medicine therapies, related products, and issues, and we do it with the experts. Only try the therapies shared here after consulting with your physician. Last Saturday, our guest was David Spiro, author of Diabetes, Sugar-Coated Crisis, Who Gets It, Who Profits, and How to Stop It. At that show's end, we discussed the herb ginger and the asana Parsva Sirsasana. If you missed that show, you can go to my website at www.amtherapies.com, click on the radio show link, scroll down to the show you want, and click the button under it to listen to the show. For appointments, call 610-687-6184. My guest today is the beautiful, compassionate author, activist, and actor, Ruby Dee. At the end of the program, we will briefly discuss the herb ginkgo and the asana Eka Pada Sirsasana. Now it's time for our wellness news. Exercise Away Diabetes, published March 24, 2007. Fitness for the rest of us. Diabetes is not caused by eating too much sugar. In fact, it is your body's inability to utilize insulin, a hormone produced by your liver. The cells in your body literally reject the insulin that your cells need to produce energy. It's like all of the cargo jets in the world have taken off, but two-thirds of the world's airports are closed, leaving a sky full of jets with nowhere to land. Without the receptors, airports, your insulin has nowhere to go. How can you get these receptors to function again? By combining under-eating and muscle fatigue. Research has suggested that these receptors can repair themselves and come back into action at a moment's notice. To understand how this works, pick up a dumbbell and pump it up and down for from 10 to 20 times. The biceps muscle in your arm will eventually get so tired that you could not lift the dumbbell one more time. The biceps muscle has fatigued. Now the insulin receptors in that muscle and only in that muscle will spring back to life and open up. This is why exercise, especially resistance training, which involves exercise that totally fatigues as many muscles in the body on a regular basis, is most beneficial for type 2 diabetics. An article in Sports Medicine, Volume 27, Number 5, pages 381 to 391, reviewed exercises for diabetes and compared resistance exercise with standard diet and exercise. The authors found that the weightlifting group had superior control. Diabetes gets more prominent with age, partly because of the inactivity and loss of muscle that comes from inactivity. Resistance training, however, restores the muscle and the insulin receptors and improves diabetic control. Performing exercises one after another and repeating the cycle is called a circuit of exercise or circuit training. In the Sports Medicine article, the researchers recommended exercise programs that have both circuit resistance and some aerobic activity in order to burn calories and to exercise the heart. Quote, I have been instructing my diabetic patients about this for years in the gym I've developed in my clinic, end quote, says Ms. Lauder. Women do not build ugly muscles because they do not have the proper hormones to do so, she says. With 30% of the population diabetic and pre-diabetic, resistance or weightlifting should be taught in physical education classes to children, a majority of whom are predicted to be diabetics one day. That story was by Valerie Slaughter for Waterside Syndication. Okay, as I said earlier, I have a very special guest today. I'm honored to have another of those very special guests who has a warm, cuddly, personal place in my heart, Ruby Dee. She certainly needs no introduction because her acting career alone has crossed all major forms of media over a span of many, many years. For example, A Raisin in the Sun. This is for those of you who are so young, maybe you weren't around when these were on or alive and known about. A Raisin in the Sun, Edge of the City, The Incident. She was nominated for 8 Emmy Awards, winning twice for roles in Decoration Day and China Beach, even a Grammy for Best Spoken Word Album, which she shared with Ossie, and was shared with former President Jimmy Carter, because they actually tied for that. Activist memberships include Congress of Racial Equality, the NAACP, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, personal friends of both Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. It takes so much, I could spend probably all of the first part of the interview talking about all of her accomplishments, but I'm going to trust that you know about most of them and go on and start our chat. Good morning.
Good morning.
And how are you?
Oh, I'm just fine, just fine.
I'm so glad you were able to do this with your busy schedule.
Yes, I'm happy to be able to get back here, but because I know how important these kinds of programs are to the people who listen to them, you know.
Yeah.
And so I don't know where to begin.
Well, I would like for you to give us a little information about where you're from. Where did all of this start for you?
Well, I was born in Cleveland, Ohio, but I lived there. I left when I was about 9 months old. But there was some marital shifting of emphasis between my mother and father, who were teenage parents.
And
my grandmother on my father's side had to straighten it all out eventually. And one of the things she did was to... In those days, you know, if you got a girl pregnant, you married her.
Right.
And but anyway, within the family, my father married another woman, my stepmother Emma from South Carolina, and somehow I don't know what the lineage is, but I feel that she was also in some way related to us because her maiden name is on prominent on both sides of it. Of the family, you know?
I see. Okay.
So they married, and she had been a teacher, and so she sort of became the mother of four children, and of my father as well, because my father was 13 years her junior, so it was an unorthodox kind of relationship from the very beginning.
But now you ended up in New York State, am I
right?
Yes,
in Harlem. So I grew up in Harlem.
And what a wonderful time to grow up in that era.
Yes, when I wouldn't have changed it for anything in the world. I didn't have anything to compare it with, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But as I grew and began to make observations and judgments and study and meet people, I realized how much I love the place.
Well, now, when you think back, what major differences, now this is a pretty weighty question, what major differences do you see between the way the world was then for you and the way the world is now?
Well, I'm trying to think. When I was young, there were the challenges, say, to the whole country of a massive depression, a shift of emphasis in terms of now shifted emphasis. The poverty was an ogre, was a dark cloud on the horizon in people's lives. Just where to get the money to eat and how to pay rent and where to live and bread lines and all kinds of lines and for food and clothing and medicine and employment and heat.
Yeah, all the major
all the major things. The government struggling. And then came the Roosevelt days when there seemed to be this heroic effort to pull the country up, to save it in some way. And a man who, like Roosevelt, who took the economic system, that they called him, those who didn't approve of him, you know, called him that cripple in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
But really, he was a Democrat. But he was the one person who saved a wing of government. He saved capitalism as an economic economic philosophy for the country.
Where do you see the focus?
Because he and I must say, with his wife Eleanor, together they came up with plans to put people back to work, to put the country on its feet, and also at that time to pay attention to poor people. Poor people were not allowed. There was some emphasis. They weren't going to just drift along and starve. There were bread lines. There were people put out in the street. I witnessed all that looking out from the my window from our good addresses. My mother called it, where she had bought an apartment and where we all moved. 137th Street and 7th Avenue. I saw the parades and the police and the gangsters. And so, as a child, from I remember as early as like 6 years old, these impressions. And today the emphasis is on a people who I would call struggling with wealth.
Well, now, can you hold that thought for a second so we can go to break and get back and not have to interrupt you as you bring us up to date?
Okay.
Thank you. You're listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist Parthenia Izard. The program is sponsored by Alternative Medicine Therapies in Valley, Kennewick, Pennsylvania. Visit my website, www.amtherapies.com, or call 610-687-6184. You can hear us on the Internet. We'll be back with Ruby Dee, actor, writer, activist, a woman exemplifying love and compassion.
Why should you passively exist with backaches, allergies, PMS, colds, flu, and other ailments? It's time to take charge of your life with preventive measures. Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies at 610-660-7710 for an initial consultation. Alternative Medicine Therapies offers a holistic approach to preventive care, unlike conventional medicine that tries to correct the illness that exists instead of preventing it altogether. Don't let anyone tell you that your situation is hopeless. Alternative medicine therapies like iridology, kinesiology, reflexology, energy medicine, which includes Qi Li therapy, acupressure, and psychological consultations, has an amazing track record of positive results. Why suffer when alternative medicine therapies with psychologist Parthenia Izard is here to help? Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies today for an initial consultation at 610-660-7710 and visit their website at www.amtherapies.com. And don't miss Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom, psychologist Parthenia Izard's radio program each Saturday morning at 9 on AM 860 WWDB.
Don't passively exist with backaches, allergies, PMS, colds, flu, and other ailments. Listen to me, Parthenia Izard, at my new time, Saturday mornings at 9 for Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom. I am a local natural health care practitioner and psychologist. I will show you alternative paths toward health with an holistic approach. Don't miss Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, Parthenia Izard, at my new time, Saturday mornings at 9. You are listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist Parthenia Izard. Try my online psychosocial coaching, and remember, you can now listen to the show on the Internet. the links on my site. And, oh, yes, if you love to swim, Nemacolin Spa has a breathtaking pool. Why not take a dip? Today, we are talking with Ruby Dee. She's been so much to so many. Ruby, you were bringing us up to date. You were sort of telling us what the focus now is in the world.
Well, as best, as you know, I'm not a politician or historian or any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's from this limited perspective.
Oh, my.
I'm not an authority, is what I'm saying. But my impression of the time, and as I grew up, and as I told you, after Franklin Roosevelt and and Eleanor Roosevelt, that era when the capitalist economic system was saved from annihilation, in a sense, because Roosevelt, that era, those Democrats put the nation back to work. What was saved as an economic consideration as a nation to go on to flourish and become one of the most wealthy countries in the world. It was a strange time, but today we are now in rolling in that kind of in the redemption that was the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
We are redeemed to a point where the problem is how do you manage the wealth fairly? How do we share it, and how do we make it improve our quality of life, not only in terms of possessions and that kind of thing, but how do we make it count in spiritual and mental and ethical ways? How do we? It's changed our wealth in the world has made us a different, even as a different personality as a nation.
I think you're absolutely right.
And so we're trying hard now to find ways that the redemption from the poverty that was the Depression does not turn into a curse, that is having too much that we have not determined yet how to handle, how to manage, what to do with, how to be a nation, how to be this divine, beautiful creatures that we were meant, we put on earth to be. How does the material character relate to our spiritual and mental health in the world? How does it lead us toward a healthier frame of mind? How does it lead us toward one of the doctrine, love ye one another,
Yeah.
It didn't say France or England or Africa or Japan. How do we get along on this little tall mob, what we call the earth? How do we not destroy the house we live in? How do we save our house and save the people in it and seek to realize our divine selves,
Well, now, of all the many people that you've met in this long and beautiful life that you've had, who left the greatest impression, or who was the most inspirational? I know it must be a hard choice.
Well, no, because I lived in a family that was a dynamic, and I think about my stepmother, who was, and my birth mother too. I credit all those contributions, those corners of family where we interrelated, my sisters and brothers and cousins, and that we were, for the most part, a caring family, and we were ambitious for each other, and guided by my mother, my stepmother, we sought to realize the promise of ourselves, and to take advantage of education and and so many things that she did in terms of helping the education look at itself and improve itself in a place called Harlem, where there was discrimination, where there was segregation in a sense, you know. It was a black, although I didn't think of Harlem as that way. I absolutely thought of it as a stunning place to be, exciting, nerve-wracking. but I can't think of any place that I felt more at home and more like a pilgrimage, more like somebody on a pilgrimage, on a journey to myself and to the world. And so I would think it was those people in the schools, in the public school system, those teachers, black and white. It was integrated, not nearly fully enough. But there were caring teachers who saw that in junior high school, I got into Hunter High School because that would lead to Hunter College, where I could go to college without having paying tuition if I qualified as academically. So that was an enormous undertaking. And my friend's mother, Mrs. Henderson, was the one who initiated the drive for the city to not deny the opportunity to take the test to go to Hunter High School or Hunter College. She made the system open up to the black students in the community and the Hispanic students that were in Harlem, so they could take the test. Mm-hmm. And finally, we were allowed to. And so I went to Hunter High School, and from Hunter High School into Hunter College. Not automatically; it was a hard job, but the teachers came together. I've never seen such a thing. They came together, and after school, and any times that they could put together, we were encouraged to come and study old tests that were taken that you had to take to get into the city, to get into Hunter College, which was without tuition, and that beautiful struggle to get these girls into Hunter. Because I went to an all-girls Hunter High School and college to get them in those school, get them into Hunter. And so the first year that we were allowed to take the test, we had the highest score in the city, I understand.
Oh, my.
And then I saw such a rejoicing among the teachers, the black teachers and the white teachers. All of them met. They ran out in the hall like girls, you know, comparing and talking. They were so excited for all of us black girls that had no idea that we were going to have the opportunity to go to college until this thrust that my friend's mother, Mrs. Henderson, made possible. So when I talk about the who influenced, I think of the Elks Oratorical Contest, I think of the community organizations, the YWCA, the Urban League, the NAACP. These were important organs in a place like Harlem. The programs for us as teenagers, the Elks Oratorical Contest, you know, those kinds of things. It was a place of activity and concern. I can't speak enough about it. And of course, there were things that were heartbreaking in terms of the news. And I remember my first coming to grips with racism and lynching and police brutality and going to jail and people getting their furniture put out on the street, their apartments, you know, dumped on, just been put out, they call it. Mm-hmm. And I remember one occasion when I'm seeing people with the rain coming down on the furniture that had been set out in the street, and one man came home from someplace and saw his things in the street, and he went up, I understand that he went up the, he walked into the next block and he shot himself. You know, was that, so it was that kind of thing. In my reading about lynching and seeing a picture of a baby being, a woman being strung up and a knife had cut the baby, cut her stomach open, the baby was hanging out on the ground and big boots coming to stomp this fetus. And I'm looking at the paper, it was a pink paper like the Amsterdam News might have been or the Pittsburgh Courier, one of those papers. I'm about six or seven years old, I guess, and I remember not being able to put the paper down, just sitting there staring at it. So my mother came along and she said to me, "All right, now Ruby, that'll do with that." And she took the paper away from me.
Well, now, speaking of things like that, what are the kinds of things that enables people to navigate through the negative or the hard times or personal tragedies as well as the positive?
Well, you know, it's the family. The family that I can't, and also those agencies within the community that the family works to make possible. Oh, and also the alphabet days, when the Roosevelt days came along, artists were put to work, actors and musicians and painters and many people that we hear of now in the country had us, like Orson Welles, and so many people came from that time, the Lafayette Players. So the Depression spawned activity and struggle to move out from despair and into the realization that life had to be better and hope that it and they opened the window on the possibilities of ways to make it better. So
you think that arts is a really critical piece in all.
Oh yes, and under that program, I studied radio under Arthur Hannah, who was the director of Nora, Nora Drake, I remember, and so many things. And they, the Lafayette Players preceded me somewhat, but I knew about them. And these people under the direction of Orson Welles and some people like from Howard University and some of the black universities who were in charge of some of these government programs, that in the arts.
You mean like the different community theaters and stuff?
Community theaters, mm-hmm.
Well, you have certainly helped your own collection of community theaters. I know when you had one of your anniversary galas, you and Ossie donated money to, I believe, eight community arts organizations?
I think it was...
Or ten.
12 theaters, wasn't it?
12.
12 theaters,
yeah.
that we collected what I thought was so marvelous, the people of the community, you know, so many people couldn't begin to name those in who established musicians like Mary Gordy, I can't even begin to name the people that we had no idea that even knew about us, let alone, and the contributions came from so many people like that, like actors and musicians and white and black and Asian and Hispanic and
it had also
the beneficiaries, those, and our distribution was to all of those groups too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, and of course it had a special place in my mind and heart because I've got to say my mother's organization, the Mount Vernon Fine Arts Cultural Center,
yes,
was lucky enough to be one of the recipients of that of those funds.
Yes.
And it helped her immensely. I'm going to ask you later what kind of suggestion you might have for somebody who wants to actually start a community theater. But right now we have to go to break, unfortunately. Oh, goodness. Okay.
Oh, that's good to have to go to break. That means there's somebody supporting you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. You're listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist Parthenia Izzard. The program is sponsored by Alternative Medicine Therapies in Ballykinwood, Pennsylvania. Visit the website at www.amtherapies.com. To hear live on the internet, click the link on the site. And continuing the report on Nemacolin, did you know they have paintball fun? We'll be back with Ruby Dee, actor, writer, activist, a woman exemplifying love and compassion. Don't passively exist with backaches, allergies, PMS, colds, flu, and other ailments. Listen to me, Parthenia Izard, at Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom. I am a local natural health care practitioner and psychologist. I will show you alternative paths toward health with an holistic approach. Don't miss Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, Parthenia Izard.
Why should you passively exist with backaches, allergies, PMS, colds, flu, and other ailments? It's time to take charge of your life with preventive measures. Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies for an initial consultation. Alternative Medicine Therapies offers a holistic approach to preventive care, unlike conventional medicine that tries to correct the illness that exists instead of preventing it altogether. Don't let anyone tell you that your situation is hopeless. Alternative medicine therapies like iridology, kinesiology, reflexology, energy medicine, which includes Qi Li therapy, acupressure, and psychological consultations has an amazing track record of positive results. Why suffer when alternative medicine therapies with psychologist Parthenia Izard is here to help? Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies today for an initial consultation and visit their website at www.amtherapies.com. And don't miss Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom, psychologist Parthenia Izard's radio program.
You are listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist Parthenia Izard. I'm now offering online psychosocial coaching. Our guest next week, August 11, 2007, will be Dominique Chapman, author of Getting Your M&Ms, The Men and Money Book. You know, Nemacolin's art collection includes 4 Audubon books for guest perusal. What a treat. Now we are talking with Ruby Dee, actor, writer, a woman exemplifying love and compassion. Yes, Ruby, what suggestions for someone interested in starting their own community theater in this day and age might you have?
And then, starting a community theater, there's a thing that that I really know about is sometimes you get an idea, and it consumes your waking and sleeping time. You know, you fall in love with an author or a book. That's what's happened to me. This is what I'll describe. Mm-hmm. You want everybody to know about this writer. I happen to have. I used to fall in love with writers. I'd read a book and then I couldn't. I just think about the writer and the story and so forth. And that's I began to do my one person show, doing excerpts from the novels that I admired, like from John O'Killens, from Zora Neale Hurston, from Alice Childers, from all the people I knew who were writers, and that intrigued me as something I just began to do. And in school, I did that as well. When I had if there was a subject to discuss, I'd like to find something relevant from some of the novelists or the philosophers or playwrights, that I could bring to bear on the subject, especially if I've been asked to do something. And so I just began to fall in love with writers, and that led to my discovery through a friend of mine of a theater group where there were like-minded people who were working with writers and wanting to put on plays.
Mm-hmm.
So my love of writers and writing and what I knew, and also stimulated by the fact that my mother had wanted to be an elocutionist, that she had read us poetry practically all our lives and taught us to recite it. And you couldn't, if company came to the house, one of the parts of the evening, you knew that the grown-ups were going to ask us to do something. And so we would recite a poem, or we played the piano, because everybody took piano lessons in those days. That was part of the program of the Roosevelt days, I call it. The alphabet, you know, the WEA, the work progress occupations.
Mm-hmm.
And so we took piano lessons and dancing lessons, and also I painted, and I studied with a painter who was also part of the program. So this was a very rich time, this effort to put the country back on its feet and put the people back to work.
Well, now you're talking about all this multitasking, even at a young age. That seems to have continued throughout your life. How did you find the way to balance everything? Being a wife, mother, actor, writer, grandmother, activist, friend.
Well, they didn't all come together at the same time. Well, we wouldn't. And when you're beginning these kinds of things, one thing, you have a supportive family. My mother and father, for example, were proud of the fact that I had joined the American Negro Theater in the basement of the library on 135th Street in Harlem, mm-hmm. where I met people who had been working in theater, who were actors that I'd never met before, Clarice Taylor and Alice Childress, and I also met Sidney and Harry, there's Isabella Fonda, you know, and Poitier, and Claude Sloan, and many people that you heard about today, Clarice Taylor and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So we found ourselves under this one roof because Fred O'Neill and Abe Hill had known each other from college and had come to and had determined to start a theater. And so I don't know. I know we started with the group was formed. We had a treasury of 6 cents. I think Clarice Lee Taylor was the only one that I remember of the actors of the young who had a job. She worked in the post office. But I think Fred and some of us had jobs too. But most of what they, it was through their efforts, we learned how to sell tickets door to door and in the street and give out flyers and put on plays, and we did original material. Our first play was written by Abram Hill, then we did another one by Alice Childress and Ted Ward and also some white writers too. I'm trying to think of and we had technicians who came to work with us, like Doris. She was a speech teacher, and we studied speech, and from people outside of the community, some of them would hear about us and join us, and so we started a school, and with fencing and writing, and we had movement and playwriting, and we had people in the, and I wish I could remember all these people's names, worked with us as stage managers and scenic designers, and black and white people seem to gravitate to us to help put the pieces together around each production.
So it seems like
so that's how we got together. There was somebody with an idea, Fred and Abram Hill, Fred O'Neill. He was an Anglo-Caster. He got to be the president of Actors Equity. He was in our first play on Stryver's Row, and then we graduated to a production called Anna Lucasta, which was a Polish play that the two of them had adapted to call Anna Lucasta, and it became an enormous success, and it received a lot of attention, and it was and excited some Broadway producers who brought us to Broadway. Which was unprecedented, and we would, it was like wildfire, the the name of the group and what we were doing spread across the nation, and we began attracting all kinds of people. And we became, we no longer were just an all-black organization. Well, some of our teachers had already, we were multi-ethnic in other respects, but the talent that we worked with as performers, we were mostly black from Harlem, but we became, I think about Allison, trying to think of all some of the names keep popping up. I need to have a book. but it is in my book. A lot of the names are in my book called With Ossie and Ruby in This Life Together, which we won a Grammy, by the way.
Yeah.
This year.
Now, how...
It was an audio...
Yes, I mentioned that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That was quite something. And staying with that, being an actress, being in that field, a field that seems to almost demand a woman loses her dignity, you have managed to maintain yours so beautifully. What was the key? How were you able to do that?
Well, I don't know that I really that description maintain my dignity. I mean,
well,
I really if I think that we all human beings, when we honestly, as young people, we're capable of pursuing a dream. The dignity and all of that takes care of itself. The pursuit of an idea that emanates from some place deep within you takes care of a certain level of honesty with yourself and with the world when you're pursuing something that excites you and that kind of thing. If I escaped any of, say, lack of dignity or something, it was because in the living I experienced something that taught me something. I'm sure I was not judgmental. I didn't have I escaped because of the people that I respected or who were looking out after me,
mm-hmm.
you know, or the things I learned along the way to save myself, and also the theater. We got to be quite an item in the world of entertainment across the country. We were written up in Ebony magazine, and many of us became well known because of our connection with the American Negro Theater. So it was, we had a certain obligation. We just wanted to. We emanated from a place that we respected, and that we were eager to be an important part of. So that took care of the dignity and the, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because dignity is not like an objective thing that you have, or, you know, it emanates from so many other, I think of it as a result attribute. If you're lucky, you're around people where the value system counts, and where you're guided and steered in terms of your ambitions and what those things you put here on this earth to do, and you find out what they are, and you're lucky enough for somebody to help you along the way, so that you're not distracted by things that are detrimental to your health, your personality, your thrust and enthusiasm for life, you know, so that we move with each other, and that sense of value, I think, is a byproduct of that, what I call assisted living. All the people who love you, who care about you, who watch you, and who pray for you, and who set examples for you, because God knows there were so many of those such people, and even those who that you can watch suffer, that you see suffer and die, they give you something that as a human being you build yourself on, and fortify your assets just by all these shoulders that we touch and hands and hearts and minds that we affect, you know.
They're
to me, I think, is you become too tied up and you get too much of an allegiance to, you're lucky when you can find groups and family and people who demand things of you and who admire you, who trust you, who show you, who teach you, who, you know what I mean, it defines responsibility and trust, and it defines it helps you to see lights on what might be your pathway, you know.
Well, you know, this is the worst part of the time of the show for me because it has to come to a close.
Oh my.
And I'm nowhere near finished talking with you, but I think we'll have to let that be your final words of wisdom for everyone. And I just want to thank you for being so gracious this morning.
Oh, thank you.
And
thank you for inviting me
to
be part of this program. Because sometimes I learn a lot just trying to look back and define what happens in the life, you know.
Well, thank you so much, and give my love to the family.
Thank you.
And enjoy the rest of your morning.
Thank you, my dear.
Love you.
Right now. Love you. Bye.
Okay, folks. I hope you don't mind missing your herb of the day and your asana, because when I have someone as special as that on, I don't want to cut them off or make their time shorter. But you've been listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist Parthenia Izzard. Our guest next weekend, August 11, 2007, will be Monique Chapman, author of Getting Your M&Ms, The Men and Money Book. At the end of the show, we will highlight the herb Jensen and the asana Ekapada Sirsasana. Now I'm going to look at my engineer to see how much time I have. Oh, my. Okay. You know, it's when I rush that I find I have more time than I thought I had. So it looks like I will get the herb of the day and the asana. The herb of the day for today is ginkgo. The part used medicinally are the leaves and seed, and of course that's for the yoga asana, but we'll go on anyway. Some of the phytochemicals for the herb are beta-carotene, there we go, myristic acid, quercetin. Some of the nutrients are amino acids, calcium, iron, magnesium, manganese, phosphorus, potassium, zinc, vitamins A, B1, B2, B3, B5, and C. It improves brain functioning by increasing cerebral and peripheral circulation and tissue oxygenation. Of course, this is according to Balk and Balk. Has antioxidant properties and may slow the progression of Alzheimer's disease. You can take at least 2 weeks to see results. And now for our asana. The yoga for today is one of the Sirsasana cycle items. It is Parvrita Ekapada Sirsasana. Sirsasana variations develop strength in the arms as well as balance and a sense of line. In Sirsasana, stretch the hips up, take the left leg forward and the right leg back, keep the knees straight, exhale and turn to the right. Keep the head and neck facing forward and the shoulders lifted. Keep the pubis pointed up, make the heels strong and stretch. Stay for from 15 to 20 seconds, breathe evenly, exhale, turn to the front, join the legs, repeat on the other side, and continue the cycle. If not, exhale and come down. As I was saying, you can listen to the program live on your computer. If you're interested in interning on the program, email your resume and or recordings to consult at amtherapies.com or to my office, Alternative Medicine Therapies offers the public iridology and kinesiology assessments, consultations in nutrition, meditation, acupressure, psychosocial consultations, incorporating Bach fluorescence remedies, and remote and video conferencing. We have online coaching now, and you can visit our website at www.amtherapies.com. I welcome your participation in my blog, subscription to the newsletter, downloading radio programs, see who our future guests will be, and what my practice offers. Some of what I offer is a personalized, non-invasive approach, which incorporates the following naturopathic therapies: iridology, as I said, kinesiology, nutrition, meditation, acupressure, energy medicine. And what might happen on your first visit to the office would be an iridology assessment, where I look at the iris of your eye, and based on various markings in the different zones of the iris, I can make determinations about strengths and weaknesses in your body. And then utilizing kinesiology, which is muscle testing, also compare the results there with the iridology piece to find out about more strengths and weaknesses as I test all of the different acupressure points related to disease-causing agents, vitamins, minerals, all kinds of points get tested or assessed at that time. The initial visit is about 2 to 2.5 hours long. For those of you who may not know what some of the other therapies are, energy medicine is the utilization of radionics or frequency, light and or sound, to enhance or balance life energy or life force. Reflexology incorporates the use of acupressure points on the foot and a massage technique to assess health and areas needing strengthening. And meditation is, of course, the process by which one grounds and centers oneself for self-awareness and stress relief. Again, if you are interested in advertising on the radio, which would be a wonderful thing for you to do, you can certainly contact the office to find out how you can go about doing that. Again, you are listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom. Be well.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.